We're going to look this morning at the four levels of sin. I'm not saying there are not others, but we're going to look at these four. Being Communion Sunday, we have talked about the fact that Christ did this to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we appreciate him doing that. This morning, I would like for us to turn to Matthew chapter 23 and to verse 28. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 28. As you can tell by its position in the book of Matthew, we are approaching the crucifixion by chapter 23. And so Jesus is talking to about the Pharisees. I'm not sure whether he was talking to them or not, but I am sure they always were in the crowd. Wherever Jesus went, they were always there in the crowd, seeking to find reasons or places that they could attack him. And so in that conversation, we come down to verse 28. And he said, "Even you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." One kind of sin, and the one that we want to talk about in this one here, is what we can call externals. It's what people see we do. It's what people hear us say. It's what people develop their attitude about you and I on. It's what they determine our character is by what we say and what we do, how we act, how we respond, and how we communicate life to them. This is a very important level. You can turn over to Luke, if you would, to chapter 17 and verses 1 to 4 as we expand this. The externals of life. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." That's an interesting statement, isn't it? It's impossible for you and I to avoid offending somebody. It may be our mate, it may be our children, it may be our neighbor, it may be our coworker, it may be somebody we bump into while we're shopping, it may be the way we drive out there on the road, or in the town. That's more likely where we would be judged by sin or of sin, is as we cut somebody off at the intersection or whatever, and I'm guilty of that myself, so I understand that area. It would be better for him, he says, or warning or judgment to him through whom they do come. They're going to happen, but woe to the person who causes the offense. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Now, you understand a millstone was a little bit bigger than the communion tray top. They were two stones. They had a hole in the middle of one. They sat one on the other. They had little grooves in the bottom one. And they would pour the grain in the top through the hole, and they would sit there and they would spin that thing around. Now, don't you think of a great big millstone and the grist mills? That's not what he's talking about. Every home had a little set of millstones, and they would sit there and they would rotate that thing, and they would grind the grain into flour, and then they would make the bread that they would eat every day. This was a daily ritual. Bread was a very important part of it. And so he said, it would be better if that millstone were hung around your neck and you're thrown into the sea than that you should offend somebody. That's pretty serious, especially if you would be offending a child. We need to be very careful always that we do not sin against children. Do children sin? Oh, yes, they do. Do they need discipline? Of course. Do they need instruction in righteousness? Most assuredly. But there are many ways in which people offend children. There's child abuse. There's child pornography. There's incest within the home, either by a parent or by an uncle or aunt or a cousin that may have access to young children. There are many ways in which children are offended and are sinned against. And then he said in verse 3, take heed to yourself if your brother sins against you. Rebuke him. Doesn't mean scream, yell, and stomp, but it means you speak to them, to your brother, your sister, your wife, your child. You rebuke them. You say, wait a minute, that's not right. Now, if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day he returns saying to you, I repent, will you forgive me? You should forgive him. Now, I want you to turn with me in relation to that very passage over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. And I have said to you more than once, it would always be a good study if you were to take the time to look up all the 3:16s in the Bible. Almost every book has a chapter 3 and a verse 16. Not all of them, but many of them. And some of them are very interesting. This is a very important 3:16. Actually, it's 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed. You say, wait a minute, the word's inspiration. Exactly. The Greek word is theonoustos. Theo, God, noustos, from the word gnosko, knowledge. All knowledge from God, where all knowledge is God-breathed, noustos. We get that word pneuma from that as well. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine. What's the word doctrine mean? That's teaching. For reproof, that's rebuke, that's scolding. For correction, that's discipline. Discipline involves pain. It may be physical pain, it may be mental pain, but all discipline involves pain. That's how we learn. We learn through pain. We learn through that which hurts us, either hurts our feelings or hurts our backside, because that's where discipline was to be administered. The rod of correction will drive it from them, the Bible says. Now, the picture here is not just children, but it's God disciplining us. God takes us through the difficult times, the hurtful times, the painful times, physically painful, emotionally painful, in order to teach us. We do not learn by ease. We learn by struggle, do we not? And the thing you want God to take away from you is the very thing that God is using to develop character in you and drawing you close to himself. Now, when you have pain and problem and sorrow and agony in your life, it's to drive you to God, not away from God. If it's driving you away from God, then Satan is doing that. If it's driving you closer to God and you're spending more time in this book and you're spending more time in prayer, then why? It's because God is using it to instruct you in righteousness. And then notice the last one, for instruction in righteousness. First of all, there's the teaching. Then when that teaching is disobeyed or ignored, then there has to be correction. First of all, you correct verbally. You say, you shouldn't have done that, or this is what you should have done. And when they refuse to repent, as it said over here in Luke 17, it says, if he repents when you rebuke him, forgive him. But if they don't repent, then comes the correction, then comes the discipline. which is another way of translating that word. And then, once again, you reteach. You teach what they apparently did not learn. You reteach it. You expound upon it. And you teach it for righteousness' sake. Now, why? Verse 17 is the why. Why? That the man or child of God, this is not just talking about men and boys, that the child of God may be complete, mature, in other words, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I close by reminding you of Ephesians 2 and verse 10, where it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Well, we covered level one. Next week we'll see if we get through the other three. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, great Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in praise and thanksgiving for the fact that you saw fit to redeem us, to bring us into your family, to draw us to yourself through the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you now, our Father, that we can be forgiven. And not only do you redeem and forgive us 70 times 7, but Father, you have to go far beyond that because we have sinned more than 490 times. And we confess our sin to you that you might forgive us and wash us and cleanse us and pick us up out of the mud and put our feet back on the path and get us going again in the right direction. We thank you, Father, that there's always restoration following repentance. Bring glory to yourself, and in our lives we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.